how satisfied are you about the 12 past months, about 2025 and the development of Nektaro in general?
The first year, I will not lie, it was very hard for us because we entered very red ocean market with a lot of good and plenty of platforms already performing with similar business models. And also the sentiment for towards the alternative funding like ours was already maybe not on the hype. So the first year was somehow hard. And also we work a lot of with affiliates, with bloggers, with the media. And for the first year, we received a lot of answers that, okay, let's see how you are going and let's cooperate after the first year. So it was very hard to receive some recognition. It was hard also from the launching perspective, as you're launching high tech, high compliance level fintech, you need to improve all the time. There are a lot of issues to be solved. And also with the regulation, you must amend to the regulation. The first year was also hard from all the reportings, for all the first time reportings that you needed to do to understand how to do it. And we spent a lot of time also on that. What changed in the second year? First, we survived the first year, so you must be long enough in the game to succeed. That's the rule number one, just stay in the game. So that was done. We also understand already second year for the regulation, for some seasonality and timing perspective, we understand already and we knew how the whole thing is working. The second is that also what I'm referring a lot of, even if there is a lot of different companies, I think that investors benefit from that. And I think that every company needs to find their investors and their community and people who are investing with them because they like the company, they like the values, they like the offer. And you cannot be like the best one in whole market and just win all the investors. You need to find your community and you need to develop the character, you as the company. And I think that was what we did first and the second year. In the second year, we started to see that there is the community, there are people who like us because of what we offer. And we also improved the platform functionality a lot. So we offered the products that were improved and kept the money with the platforms and was more understandable for the investors. We're introducing auto invest, we're introducing additional security to FA and things like that. So the second year was very good for Nektaro, and also from the growth, from the numbers perspective, we start year with 3.5 million euros outstanding portfolio, and we ended with 20 million outstanding portfolio. It is like a 6x growth. I'm happy to be present in the company who grew so a lot during 1 year.
Yeah, that's already a nice summary, including also the struggles of surviving the first year, which is always the most difficult one. Yeah, you mentioned it. There was significant growth, overachieving actually the target that you set, because I also remember conversations we had about expectations for 2025. And you estimated roughly outstanding portfolio of 10 to 15 million. Now we exceeded this target. As you mentioned, AI functionality, additional security features, also then 2FA, but also the group guarantee for Abele Finance. So I feel like overall, Nektaro, and I mentioned this also in previous videos and previous content, Nektaro overall had a very solid year, a strong year. What have been targets that you can maybe reveal that haven't been hit last year?
We're working and we're thinking about the additional asset class or additional product. For me, as a manager of the company, I need to think three steps ahead. So our main target for 2025 was to fulfill the plan, because for our partners we have promised, and that is the main target for Nektaro. However, I myself wanted also to understand the next steps of development. We had several meetings with several partners, including tokenization, including real assets, and we haven't in 2025 finalize the next project plan. So we didn't achieve that. However, at some point we maybe deprioritized that and moved with our target plan and moved with our main asset class. And also I was speaking with investors and also with partners, with bloggers, with media. And the idea there was also that they want and maybe expect us to be this main, to offer very good main product and not to maybe focus in early stage first on other asset classes, because the track record or their experience showing that not making worse, but taking something back from the main product because the priorities is not there, because maybe the development team is not there, and also maybe the cost base for companies such is growing because of the new developments, and there is always this scaring that maybe that can be will be built on existing client base. So we had high priority at the beginning of 2025 to introduce or at least to understand and to start promise the new asset class. We didn't manage that. However, now looking back, I think that that is good decision, because we all that energy we put into main product improving that, and the not changing the offer or even improving the offer. I think that that maybe was too fast a plan for us to introduce new asset class in 2025. I think that moves to 2026 late or even early 2027, because I also understood from market and from the investor it's very important to be good at the thing that you offer and that you attract investors with, rather than to diversify it very early and offer different things that maybe you are not sure about at that moment yet.
It's an understandable argumentation, obviously. Understanding, you know, not taking away anything from the core product that you have, that kind of, you know, like where you feel like you have an entry in the market, instead of just continuing to broaden your portfolio right away. Can you reveal which asset class or asset classes have been in consideration for the expansion?
Everyone says that we need to do the tokenization. I think that a lot of partners are thinking about that. And we also thought about that in 2025. Currently, we have paused that for some time because we understood that that basically, if we are tokenizing loans, it's very, very similar product to what we offer now. It's just on the blockchain rather than legal agreements that it is now. But the essence is very similar. So there is now so much added value to that. Currently, I think that we are looking on real estate. Real estate, we are partners in Latvia, maybe in somewhere else in Europe. I think that that is maybe something that is closer to us and that we review it now closely. Also, we have speak with some companies about small and medium funding, especially interesting startup funding with the equity in that. But currently, I would say the asset real estates are closer to us.
Can you reveal, like, to which extent real estate? Is it like rental properties, development projects? What were the ideas, or what are the ideas?
Developing and maybe renting, because Riga is good place for that. In Riga, there is real estate is still comparably cheap to maybe Europe or even to other Baltic states, but the rent is already similar to that level. So it's good opportunity currently in Riga from maybe even my personal perspective. But we are speaking with development companies who are somehow doing and testing both. So let's see.
From my perspective, one aspect where I would say Nectara is excelling compared to other competitors is probably you have very attractive yields on the platform. Don't you think like going into the real estate segment is kind of like taking away this kind of edge? Because obviously real estate returns tend to be usually in the mid higher single digit range.
Yes. We think about that a lot, and that's also the question about the customer base and what is preferred by customer base. But if we speak about adding additional product or new asset class, this will be always a question, because most of the asset classes, or if we speak about a new asset class, especially as the regulator, because we want to also execute our license. We have heavy license, we want to execute that and offer something that the license like offers and something that adds added value. For example, bonds, real estate, like more lower income products in any case. It looks like it will be more lower income products in any case. And that will be the problem, that basically that new asset class will be competing with currently around 14% investments in real in customer loans. But that's the drill. And we think to how somehow to diversify the customer base to maybe attract new customers on that product. But if we speak about new asset class, it will always be some competitiveness with our existing product.
Mm. Okay, that's a fair point. Now you mentioned in your position, you're always kind of aiming to think three steps ahead. And now we're discussing already potential new asset classes being on the platform. So maybe instead of pushing it towards the end, we can already talk now about the outlook and the targets that you have for 2026. What can you share? What do you have on the business map? What do you want to achieve this year?
In short term, we're currently working on updating the auto invest, and also we are creating predefined strategies that will allow to automatize investors' investments. Investments of customers. Yeah, that will be super easy to use, which only just one button is very easy terms and easy to understand why we are working on that, because currently the autonomous strategies customers can create themselves. Somehow they are using that more or less, but we want to improve that to offer easier go-to strategy. And also we want with that to help diversify a portfolio of investors. Because they're investing in loans, and somehow we see that there is some maybe questions or stress about one or two loans being late. And somehow we maybe think that maybe it is because of the lack of diversification. So we want to offer more diversification and easy go to use out in the strategy. That is like one what we are working. We also currently looking in localization of Nectaro. As you know, like Nectaro currently is only available in English. We want to localize that in German language and a few others till the end of the year. We want to like make the localization setup, and then you can easily adjust to different languages. So we are working on that. That is like short-term goals. And we are working also on a few non-interesting things as a very close connection with bank to make payments and closing of the days and all the accounts more automated. But I'm not sure that is something that investors will feel directly. It's also like large project on our side. From the long-term goals that we are thinking about, there are this new asset class that we are discussing. And also we currently speaking about the new asset class. We also understand that when we discussing new asset classes, the question arises is about the liquidity. So sooner or later, I know that I have put this question as far as I can, but I somehow starting to see that as far as I can coming soon. And we need to speak and thought about the secondary market. I think in the second part of the year, we will start on the project and start implementing early 2027. Currently, there are changes within the team. We are looking and we are not looking. We are waiting for a candidate to accept and join as a project manager for Nectaro. And I think with that, we also agree with the next timeline. But this is our priorities from our side. But yeah, as soon as we can, we will restart all of that. And secondary market, yeah, maybe even with this asset class that this is, I will still say that we can manage. But if we speak about other asset classes and if we speak about other partners, they're also asking this question, and also the real estate or something else, it needs to be more liquid than we can offer. And if we are adding new partners, we need to manage their product as it is, and we cannot so easily shift to a shorter period as we did to improve the liquidity with our product. And there will be new partner, we cannot just say we don't have secondary market, make it 3 months. It's not how it works. And currently when you speak with different partners, I started to understand that, and recently I had one meeting sitting like, yeah, we will need the secondary market. So yeah, still no timeline for that, but now it is back to agenda, I will say, like a political person. So this is back to agenda of us.
That's probably good news for many investors, because I recall the last conversation we had about the outlook for 2026, you said secondary market is no priority. So now we can see there's a slight shift on the roadmap. So potentially the end of the year or early next year, There will
but
be
it's
more.
Also going together. Also, the secondary market. Why? Because it's similar, as I explained about this new asset class. You need to put yourself on the ground. Also, the capital requirement. We are loss making hugely in the first 2 years, adding new capital. And the secondary market is capital request, is higher capital. So that is one. Second, you need to build that system for your current investment, whole setup to work very good and precisely. And then you can add on top very complicated secondary market algorithm. So it's also not just because we want or we don't want. You have to put yourself on the ground with your main product. Your main product should be working like, okay, and that was, I was also reluctant to add because it's complex. It's complex product from the regulatory and from the system perspective as well. And maybe somehow inside, maybe we didn't share at that moment, we didn't feel like ready enough for that huge project. But currently, as with the portfolio, as the financial situation, and as with development, we are starting to be ready to implement that. I would say it's also some natural growth.
If we stick to liquidity for 1 second, many platforms in the market are currently exploring ideas to offer high liquidity for their investors, even beyond a secondary market implementation, fixed income products, and something that, you know, can be, you know, funds that can be withdrawn within a day. Is this a direction that Taro is also looking into?
Yeah, we're speaking about that because, as you're telling, the market is doing that, and we also receiving requests for that, and we do not ignore it. We're speaking about them, but I will be honest, like last few weeks we have this topic and we have discussions, but currently no product or something have been created. But we recognize this, and that is true. It is like, I think this, I don't know, after the February, after the Bitcoin, after the war, I don't know, but last like month, something, this very topical question for us as well. But no ready product in pipeline.
On the other side, I could imagine, as we outlined before, the edge of Nectaro currently is to offer attractive yields. Obviously, a higher liquidity would come obviously at the expense of higher returns. So that's maybe something to consider as well on your end.
And I'm not sure that everyone understands that. I'm not sure that everyone who are asking for additional securities, who are asking for group guarantees, who are asking for 10th layer of securities really understands that. Because there's also in Telegram more directly, like, please implement that. And I'm not sure they understand the second part of additional securities to additional liquidity. That is a very good question. Maybe we can address together through this interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's a logical consequence. You can see it in the market. Maybe there's a little bit more education needed for some investors, but I feel like the overall pattern should be clear to most of them. Or do you disagree?
Well, I disagree on the most of them part. It's very, very like diversification of investors is, interesting. I'm not sure. I'm just kidding around.
But maybe we can tie into one of your previous comments. You said, like, understanding, you know, the customers or the investors that really like you, that stick to the platform, that keep on investing with the platform. How would you maybe say Nectaro investors, what is their typical characteristics? What's their behavior? And maybe you have some, you know, you're well connected in Latvia with other platforms. How do Nectaro investors differ from other platforms?
Oh, good question. I know our customer, but I don't know their customers. For me, because I'm not really following. And then there is like communities and telegrams, and I want to follow, but I don't, because really the lack of time. So I don't really know their customer. About our customer, what I can say, well, they are definitely passive investors. Maybe from the numbers, what I know, we had meeting last Friday with other platforms, and we were presenting numbers. So Nectaro has a lot of investors from Latvia. So why? Because I think because we are based in Latvia, we are pretty active in like social in fintech area. So I think and I think that transfers also maybe to all investors, that they are seeing Nectaro maybe activities and maybe the people behind Nectaro and believing on that. We have a bit less than 20%. Investors from Latvia, and all other platforms has less than 4 or 5%, something like that.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of that. I think that is because of our social activities and being present in the fintech area. I want to think that Nectaro investors are spoiled because we offer high interest rate rates, and we also are thinking and pushing on everything that is on Nectaro side. For example, cashbacks, newbie, something to be paid on time or before the time. So we are very like pushing on our customers to be satisfied. But I think that all the investment platforms will be saying that. So, but I want to think that there is now really some negativities have happened so far. What else? Well, I have a previous experience with the banks. I'm from banking background, and I was working as a private banker with a high net worth individuals investments. So what is surprising for, I don't think that for Nectaro, but investment platforms as such, is the passivity of the investors. We had a larger investor investing hundreds of thousands. I'm reaching out, hey, this is Sigit, the CEO. Maybe we can have a call. I want to maybe we can, I don't know, serve you or invite you or whatsoever, just what you like, what you don't like. And the reply was, no, this is my passive investment. Just leave me alone. So this is when you work with digital investments and then digital product. It's very poorly digital, but I think that is common to all platforms, not Nectaro especially. I hope that we attract younger generation because that is our goal. And I hope that we attract also more first-time investors, more women. But I don't have these statistics from other platforms, so it's hard to compare.
All right. I would like to talk to you about the different lending companies that you currently have on the platform. Let's start off with Abele Finance. And as I recently learned, Abele is Latvian for apple tree. Abele Finance, obviously the latest bigger news, you issued a group guarantee by Dinino FinTech Holding that happened at the end of last year. Can you quickly discuss the motivation behind or the reasoning behind this implementation? Mm-hmm. Other than it was requested by investors?
This is the first one. The second one, Abele is created and is issuing the loans within the Danino whole group. So we are doing, according to our procedures, the due diligence, we are doing risk managing, but Abele Finance is not old company. It is new and established, especially for the purpose for issuing the loans. So maybe for the investors, it is harder to believe in that business model, it's harder to believe in that company, and I understand them, because also from working with a lot of lending companies, I also always I'm asking about the diversification of portfolio, how much of those portfolio are affiliates or not. And in this case, it may be made sense for someone bigger, larger, with larger portfolio, larger track record to step in and say that this is safe structure, because I don't want Abele to perceive like some SPV or structure who is created to somehow like put aside the risk or something like that. I want that to be perceived as the separate company created with the target to lend within the group, but that someone bigger is taking the risk and somewhere bigger is saying that this is fine and we have a cash to cover it. Because Abele is new, the capital is quite, it's like $500,000, so it's quite a decent one for the market, but still it's new company with sole purpose. And I understand how this lack of diversification of Abele's portfolio can maybe raise some risks for the investors. So that was the thinking there. So have some additional security. And it also made sense because Abele is issuing for the loans for the group companies, so it makes sense the group to guarantee those loans. The negotiation was so long because group is a large old company and they have separate agreements and separate also other some relationships that we needed to have approvals from and understand the from, and there was like specific limit that we need to achieve before that takes into account also that Danino group is large and very well and complex managed, so there's a lot of approvals, everything's very official, so like appropriately officially, but it takes some time to done it that way. So I think that it's very natural thing, and I was never against that. We just need it again, as with like different things, we just need to reach exact point, then we can implement that.
From my perspective, I feel like what was very helpful and beneficial that some weeks ago you posted a breakdown of you know, more the eco-finance system, all the different companies that are actually funded in the background of Abele Finance to understand which entities are kind of involved, which receive the funding. Now, I remember that when we had a previous conversation, you mentioned Nectaro kind of, you know, given its strong second year, you know, internally you have built up a, let's say, a better reputation. You're recognized as a, you know, as a good source to provide funding for the entire group. And that ultimately also the growth and the funding needs, the demand in terms of Abele Finance is very strongly tied also to the internal group development. So how do you personally see the, you know, the funding needs for 2026 and beyond, and given Nectaro's, let's say, stronger presence now within the group to provide also fresh capital?
Can I comment on the article? Because I'm very proud of that. It was my initiative and I wrote this article myself with my own hands. Like, I kid you not, because I have this feeling that somehow within the chat or somewhere, like somebody saying, oh, did you know that Abele is funding, I don't know, like Latvian company or whatsoever. Did you know that Abele is like it is something bad, but we were always super open about that. And we have put that publicly, but sometimes it was like raised as something bad or something that we are hiding. And I want to be very clear that this is Abele. This is what Abele is doing. We have never like say something else. This is where your money is going. It's all there, you know, it's all us in the end, and this is how it is used. We don't need to do that, because from the documents, from compliance, for all the perspectives, and even from the market practice, we can say that Abele is the lending company. It issues loans within the group, and that's all. But we wanted to show that split, and we wanted to show even when you're investing to see where your money is going, because we have all this accounting system. And that is my initiative, especially like to avoid someone saying that we have not been transparent enough. So yeah, that is completely my work. So thank you for recognizing that. About the funding need. The interesting part is also that, especially with the lending companies has very diversified funding sources. Moldova and Romania has several local banks funding them. And they have loans with the short period, with the longer periods, credit lines and things like that. So the funding needs is changing depending on their cash management. So they want to refinance some loans. They have also the local shareholders. They have also fundings from other funding structures. So the funding need can change depending on what can and cannot offer Nectaro. Why change in the first year? Why I was sharing the 10, maybe 15? Because that was assumption of what Nectaro can deliver. We sat together and based on the first year, which, you know, wasn't easier, one of things, I don't know, I'm not sure that we can make 20 or 25 million. So we align that this will be the part that will be from Nectaro, and the other part which is needed will be funded somewhere else, because all those lending companies, they have very diversified funding sources. I was, when they're joining, I was like, pleasantly surprised about that. And there's a lot of lending local banks who have stakes and who are funding this retail lending business, because they want to have the part in that. They have the limits, and there are several banks in Moldova and Romania who has like a goal to fund retail subprime lending, and they want to put money in there, but that's money changing and they have limits. They are splitting between other companies. So the cash need can be changed. It is changing, adapting also to the market, to their cash management, and also to what Nectaro can offer. The funding need for the year to end, there is Ecofinance, the lending business. This is less than, I think, around less than 10 additional millions. But there is also a different project within the Nino. Last year and the end of the year, we launched Dynatech. And this is interesting because Dynatech is not our sister company, as all the companies before that, but Dynatech is our cousin company, however, Panic. That's it's still Danino group, but it's not Tech Finance group. Dynatech is Latvian based CEO, which is in Latvia receiving awards for best employee, because there is a lot of people working here, legal and IT, and other administrative staffs who are serving the whole Danino group. And this is not like landing, and we launched that, and it was interesting project for us. We basically launched that more for testing purposes and more to see how investors perceive that, how Dynatech can use that money, how costly is that for them, because it's for them, so obviously super costly, but they have the have the cost to use that. So we're testing that. Less than $1 million is funding there. And currently we are looking to other connection with the Danino group and maybe even speaking about funding some businesses that they are doing in USA. Also still in negotiation phase, but there is also one like middle ground where to grow between Deco Finance and between non-affiliate, like semi-affiliate, partner affiliation from home, but still within the group.
All right. Let's maybe switch then to Romania, Moldova. We mentioned them already a couple of times. Now, in terms of Romania, what is their current performance and funding needs for this year? And also maybe if you can comment on the European Consumer Credit Directive that is about to be implemented, if this to some extent will have any impact on the lending company, you know, if you have to move products maybe and go away from the credit lines or like, just like overall, what the effects are of the new Consumer Credit Directive for the Romanian business?
Interesting part that they are looking into new projects and they are looking into also crediting small and medium enterprises, but it's still within discussion, so nothing finalized yet. With the Romanians, interesting part that they really are very self-sufficient. They are very stable, they are profiting themselves, and they're also sharing their profits with other structures if they need it. So they are very self-sufficient, and growth plan with especially Romania is very low. It's less something the same 1-2 million until the end of the year. There are also questions on the table about refunding some banking structures, so that also will be discussed. But currently, they are very self-sufficient, and there is the lack of Romanian loans on the platform. Investors like them because they're high yields, they are Europe, and they end fast. Very the liquidity is very high, especially the investors from the beginning who land and who joined because of them, but there is a lack of them because they are not in really the cash need at the moment. About the new directive, I have followed that within our regular meetings. I think I don't have like the plan on the hand, but I think that they will adjust it somehow, but I can't comment at the moment.
Okay, so take away maybe from Romania, slight growth, but you know, just minor, and investors shouldn't expect bigger jumps, obviously, given the nature and the size of the market. Understandable. How about Moldova? I remember also there was at one point a discussion about a group guarantee in place. How did this conversation evolve?
To be honest with you, from the business perspective, Moldova private loans are the highest interest rate on the Matero platform. People who are searching for highest interest rate, they are going for Moldovan loans. If we will introduce the guarantee on that loan, most likely we will need to decrease the interest rate for that product. And so we currently have paused that because if you want to invest within Moldova, you can, and with guarantee, you can do that through the business loans. So basically that need is covered. I think that investors who are requesting the guarantee on personal Moldova loans are requesting that be just that be on the top. So we will have to Moldovan investment opportunities with group guarantee, but one is higher interest rate and second is lower. I don't think that is how market works. I'm afraid that we cannot ensure that for our investors. So currently this is on the pause. Also interesting fact that Moldova has pretty large portfolio, but also the business loan portfolio has grew as well. So basically current they are even. And the question is what we think about the future. I think that we still need to continue funding the personal loans because of the interest rates, because there are people who are coming to Nectaro, checking Nectaro, and they are not checking separate countries or lending companies. And that is like how a bunch of investors are acting. They are checking Nectaro. If Nectaro is fine, they're investing based in Conterm and the interest rate and don't check every company individually, which is also a normal approach. And they are searching for higher yield. We don't want maybe at this point to cut this higher yield and to offer the same that you can already choose on the platform. can have it all. In general, I think that you can, but maybe...
Not in this case.
Yeah.
All right. And then maybe to wrap up the lender side, so we had vague discussions in the past that, you know, where you mentioned Nectar is open to also starting to onboard a non-affiliated lending companies. What's there roughly the discussion that you have internally and, you know, already reveal a couple of, let's say, search criteria of the companies that you're looking to match the profile of the platform?
Yeah, we are searching for different asset classes. So we don't want personal business loans to be listed on the platform because of perform the competition from the interesting perspective, from the offer to the investors. So if it is like development, real estate, things like that, that is what we are searching, to be more diversified rather than maybe to go in the same direction. Also because of the risk, lending companies, investment loans and lending companies, subprimes are riskier. So we also want to offer from the risk perspective different products. And as you mentioned, it comes with other businesses risk because the safer product will be lower interest rate. But yeah, that is where we're looking now.
Hmm. In terms of geographies, do you focus then on Europe or do you also go... your search for the worldwide?
When, or? If you speak, it depends on product. If you speak about the real estate, it's not even the Europe, it's Baltics, maybe something else, maybe some European countries, but Baltics preferable. About the real estate, you speak about the businesses. Yeah, well, other businesses, I think that it will be mainly Europe, yeah, because the safetiness and also because of our risk appetite, which is not so high at the moment.
And how advanced are you in this kind of approach or in discussions with external lenders?
The real estate, we have some discussions in several rounds going on with developers about the real estate potential cooperation on listing asset-backed securities backed by real estate or mortgage loans. Well, some kind of mortgage loans.
Hmm. Okay. How do you personally see the chances one of those developers will be onboarded on Nectar by the end of this year?
If I say yes, I know we will have the phone call in December.
Circle, I just asked about the chances. Just the chances, not the ultimate
65%.
65. So more likely than not. All right. Good. Well, I think that's a good wrap, about 40 minutes. Sigita, thanks a lot for your time. Maybe to wrap up, anything worth mentioning to investors that hasn't been said yet in our discussion?
Yeah, from the next updates, we are launching the Auto Invest, which is predefined auto strategy, which I think will make easier investing. And I would like investors to check that out and to use that for their investments, because currently Nectar is offering already a lot of countries, different products, and diversification will decrease the anxiety of the investors investing with Nectar.
All right. Then marketing job fulfilled. Thanks a lot for your time, Sigita, and thanks for your answers and insights.
Thanks, Tom.